going? You're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley. And on today's show, we're going to discuss this weekend's Alliance Football League and Hurling League action this weekend. I'm delighted to be joined, as usual, by Seamus Brady from Onclea this week as well. And before we get into the action, obviously, wanted to say check out our sponsors at Capture Athletics to get the best gear around. I'm wearing one of those tonight, so Seamus was wearing it on his show last week. So very nice gear, and thanks to the lads at Capture Athletics for getting that gear out to us, and check them out if you haven't already. So Seamus, exciting weekend of the Alliance League this weekend, and probably a do or die in particular for football teams this weekend, certain football teams, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thanks for having me on again, Matthew. It's a nice hoodie. The Capture Athletics is a nice hoodie. Like, the green looks good. The black and white one that we got looks good as well. So, they're definitely good stuff. This weekend I'm buzzing for it. Like, there's no doubt about it. I'm going to be in Croke Park tomorrow for the doubleheader between Dublin against Limerick in the hurling and then Dublin against Kerry in the football. So, it's going to be a busy, busy one. No doubt about it. And, look, really, really looking forward to it. And as you said, there's consequences across the board for every team in the league this weekend. I don't think there's any team really that has a dead rubber game, which makes it a hell of a weekend to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely so. And before we get into the action this weekend, we'll go on to the weekend Gaelic games. And there's been two stories this week that caught the attention, really, of GAA fans. And the first was the amalgamation. And this is the story about the LGFA, the Camogie Association, and the GAA joining together. But they won't join together until 2027. And it's a good step. It really is a good step in progress. But the fact is 2027 and there was the protest last year, it's kind of disappointing that it isn't sooner, but better late than never, I suppose, Seamus. But it is a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah, it's a step forward. There's no doubt about it. It's a step forward. There's certain progress that is that will be made now because they will be under the one umbrella. Like, they immediately, players, as Mary McAleese said in her interviews with Off the Ball and everything like that, like, players will now get access to better pitches, better training facilities, everything like that, that the GAA has for them. And being under the one umbrella, it makes life smoother, doesn't it? Like, down to the smallest things of, like, wearing the same jerseys, training in the same locations, everything like that. It just makes it that little bit easier, and everybody's on the same team fighting for the same county. It works a lot better. I'm really, really happy that they have announced that they are going to amalgamate, because I genuinely got to a point where I believed that this was going to be one of those things that just would never happen, that it was going to be one of those things that was just kind of, it was so glaringly obvious to everybody that the world would be easier for all the players if the two organizations were the same, but wasn't to be. That's genuinely why I kind of resigned myself to. So I'm delighted that this is, stepping forward in the right direction. And you never know. They've set 2027. That's the end date. It might move faster than that. You never know. Maybe by 2026, if things go swimmingly over the next 2 years, you never know. It might be earlier than we think. So it's definitely a step in the right direction.
It definitely is, yeah, and especially with the sit-down protest last year, the short protest, and it was just great to see Mary McAleese come out and say that she's in support of this, and from no less a president of our country previously. So it was brilliant that that got traction too. And the fact is as well, the male counterparts seem to support the ladies as well. Like, the work that Conor Moyler from Tyrone is doing in particular is absolutely outstanding. And does that... what needs to happen in future with male footballers and male hurlers, that they need to support their female counterparts? Because the Camogie and NGFA games are as good as the men's football and the men's hurling, most definitely.
I completely agree. And like, if you look across the board, look, there's just different skills kind of prioritized in the games. Like, I would say, if you were to make the LGFA and Camogie games, if you were to make them 70 minutes, the score lines in them would be way higher than they are now, because we all know that most of the scores tend to come in the last 10 minutes of the game anyway, because defenses have loosened up, everything like that. And the scores are still, comparable to the men's score lines anyway. Completely agree. That would be the first step I'd take, is to lengthen the game out to 70 minutes. So to make it across the board 70 minutes, you know what you're getting. No matter what GAA game you go to, you're getting 70 minutes of top quality entertainment. And it's vitally important that every player supports each other's players. Because one quote about that I seen in FIFA is like, the FIFA documentary was, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So if one player gets disrespected, that's a threat to all players inside the GAA game. So they should all, you know, stand shoulder to shoulder. And just like how the Kerry footballers did last season, during the in the midst of the sit-down protests, the men's football team got a photo with the women's football team where they all stood shoulder to shoulder. That's what we love to see, and I hope we see more of that going forward. I'd love to see then more double headers back-to-back of the men's game first and the women's game second, or the women's game first and the men's game second, because you've had this time and time again. Dublin played Mayo in round two of the Allianz Football League on the men's side and round three on the women's side. And they were played on the same day at different times, but they played the women's one in Ballina and they played the men's one in McHale Park just for no other reason, and they couldn't come to an agreement to put it as a double header. I mean, A, it would have been more respectful to the fans. B, it would have been more respectful to the players, because it would have brought the two crowds together. So hopefully in the future, like, petty little stuff like that will go away and we'll all be pulling in the one direction.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and just came to me. Hopefully we'll see an end to the Hannah Looney, Orla Cahalan, Libby Coppinger having to play two games in one day because the Camogie and the LGFA want to put their games on the same day. If they're under one umbrella, they need to be respected more and have their games put on separate days at the very least.
Exactly, so one very well put there. And I was going to mention, actually, we're going to mention Longford's Division 4 game later on, but they're actually have done it with the ladies footballers in their Division 4 clash this week. Yeah, that's brilliant. Again, Brooklyn Spears Park. So that's a good step in the right direction, in fairness. There was another example, Clare Sligo played both ladies and men's on the same day, but they were different venues. I actually don't know what the reason for that is. Hopefully the amalgamation will iron out those faults in many ways, and hopefully it is ready for a very good future in all four sports. Last story before we get into the Allianz League, and a bit of a weird one, bit of a random one from last night on RT, I have to say. Gaelic Games in the Olympics. Obviously, it's an Olympics year this year. Best of luck to all the Irish athletes this season in swimming and boxing and athletics or whatever they may be. Maybe entering, but Gaelic Games in the Olympics, Seamus, I think it could either go two ways. Number one, Ireland would see it as a guaranteed gold medal, or number two, Ireland would think there's a lot of pressure for us to get the gold medals here, lads.
Yep, I mean, I think Ireland would dominate. Like, right now, if Ireland put in the best team that we have, we'd absolutely annihilate everybody else in the competition. But what it would do is it would introduce Gaelic Games like never before to the world. I mean, we saw, for example, 1992 is a perfect example, when the United States sent the dream team to the Olympics that year, and the explosion of basketball around the world off the back of that dream team. It was absolutely remarkable. So if the GAA does go to the Olympics, I can't believe I'm saying that. Like, that's the first time I've heard of it. I didn't hear about it until you mentioned it off air before we started it. The GAA's principles are very similar to the Olympics in terms of honest competition, no steroids or anything like that. Every player, you know, is an amateur player, really. I know they might get endorsements and sponsorships, but it's all about the, you know, the morals of competing fairly, and may the best man or woman win. Like, that's kind of very similar across the board between the GAA and the Olympics. So the GAA probably would be a good fit. It's just whether or not there's anybody who could even compete with Ireland to make it worthwhile. Or would enough countries put in a team? Because we know Ireland will put in a team. The United States will probably put in a team. You could probably argue, yeah, obviously England, the UK would put in a team. France, maybe. But apart from that, who else would? Australia. But like, to get enough teams to make it like a considerable challenge, but it is something worth keeping an eye on. And the GAA, it is a question of, do you want the game to go global? If you want the game to go global, this is the absolute perfect move, step. If you want the game to go global, is to get it into the Olympics. Like, the UFC have been trying to do that with mixed martial arts forever and they haven't been able to. for the GAA, if they were able to get this in, it is a pure sport. It could work. It definitely worked to make it go global. There's no question about it. But if it were to go into the Olympics, I think the game in 20, 30 years would be unrecognizable then from what it is today. Because if we look at, for example, the NBA, you know, their quantity of players from the United States, their quantity of players from outside the United States in 1992, it was absolutely nothing compared to what it is now. And a lot of people that study the NBA attribute the 1992 Dream Team as, you know, exploding basketball to the world and making people dream of being the next Michael Jordan, the next Charles Barkley, the next Scottie Pippen. And that led to players, superstars in the NBA like Giannis, like Nowitzki, all this stuff. Like, it's just, it's an interesting one to consider. And like, if the GAA went to the Olympics, would we see France turbocharged with the GAA? Would we see Germany turbocharged with the GAA? And then maybe in 50 years, are Germany and France just as good as Ireland at Gaelic Games? Because if we're honest, Gaelic football doesn't take the most skilled person in the world. Hurling does. But I'm fairly confident that if you got a football team or a rugby team and spent 3 months with them learning the basic skills, they'd be decent footballers in 6 months.
That's the thing. When you think about it, remember the toughest trade and Shane Williams, the Welsh rugby player, going to Gaelic football, and a few other players as well. I think Harry Redknapp went to coaching with Castlehaven a few years ago for the EIB documentary. Like, it seems to be growing at an exponential rate. And even like Eamon Walsh from the Limerick Voice said, check this piece if you haven't already on Uganda GA. It's absolutely brilliant. But that's Uganda or GA happening all the way over in mid-Africa. You know, that's incredible as well, right? South Africa as well. You have Argentina have a Gaelic Games Association there. The Czech Republic of here have a Gaelic Games Association. You have New Zealand there as well. It's growing around the world in many ways. And you mentioned America and the UK there. Like, London doing so well at the All-Ireland Series. New York beating Leitrim last year. Like, it seems to be growing at an exponential rate. And if it does go to the Olympics, as you mentioned there, it is an amateur organization. Like, let's say athletics, like swimming, like amateur boxing, in many facets. So that is a very good point that you made there. And the fact it is rising more than anything, Jay. And yeah, it the fact that it's gone over to Uganda, to Argentina, to these sorts of countries, show that it is rising even more.
Well, that's it. And the crazy thing is that, from what I heard, the Uganda GAA team was made because the guy saw a YouTube video of a Gaelic football match and shouted to his mates, and then they made the team. There was no Irish guy that landed into Uganda and like spread the gospel. Like, no, this was literally a guy saw a YouTube video, thought that looked like a pretty sick sport, and made the team. So social media has kind of exported this to the world, and that's why there's so many more clubs popping up. Like, for example, the Club Wall, like where I'm working in the museum, the Club Wall, that's got redone. And the reason it's got redone is because, like, the amount of new clubs. There were so many new clubs that had to be put in on that wall. And the last one was made in 2010. And then the new one was opened up on the day of the All-Ireland Club Final. So it's like, it's exploded abroad, which is an amazing thing for the sport, because it's bringing more eyeballs than ever before. The players are getting more credit than ever before as well. Yeah, it's a brilliant thing to see. And if it went to the Olympics, like, it would be rocket ship to the moon then after that for the sport's potential growth.
Absolutely. So, and hopefully this story gets a bit of traction in the next few weeks, because we'd all love Gaelic Games in the Olympics in the next few years. And obviously the Olympics is a brilliant, it's a worldwide event. So what harm would it be for a Gaelic Games to go into it? Before we get into the action, good comment here from Denise. Totally off topic, but your own and Seamus' podcast hoodies are absolutely unreal. Thank you, Denise. Yeah, the guys at Camperletics know what's going on. It's very good hoodies, and yeah, some really, really good gear being sent out to us. So thank you to the guys at Capture Athletics. We'll move on to the Allianz League action, and we'll start off with football. We'll start off in Croke Park, a game that you're going to tomorrow, obviously, Seamus. Dublin against Kerry on Saturday, 7:30 on TG Carr. Like, a difficult game for you, to be honest. Like, you beat Roscommon the last week, but facing a Kerry team with David Clifford, Paddy Clifford and Sean O'Shea, this is going to be an almighty challenge.
It's going to be the huge test. It's probably going to be the biggest test that we've had in the league so far. And I know that we've lost to Monaghan and Mayo. So, like, that's how much I think we're up against it going into this one. Kerry come to Croke Park with a score to settle. David Clifford comes to Croke Park with a score to settle. A lot of people took aim at him for his performance in the All-Ireland final last year, which I still don't even think he had the worst game. I think he wasn't 10 out of 10, but he was solid 6 out of 10, I'd say. 6.5 out of 10. Still set up the goal for Paul Gainey. Still, like, kicked a few nice points. Just didn't shoot the lights out. I still think he probably did more than most of the other Kerry lads. But the reality is people hold him to such a high standard that he still was going to get the flack when Kerry lost. He could have scored 11 points. Kerry lost. He still would have got some abuse. So he comes to Croke Park with a bone to pick. I'm nervous that Dublin don't have Mick Fitzsimons fit and ready. So who does take him? Sean McMahon was on him for the second half of last year's All-Ireland final for periods while Mick Fitz was also on him. Theo Clancy looks born and bred to play for Dublin, but is this a bit too soon for him to go on David Clifford? Then Shawnee O'Shea is going to be in the full forward line too, so you have to think about him. It's a massive, massive, massive test for Dublin. There's no question about it. I'd be very interested to see what team we actually go with. It hasn't been named yet. Will the likes of John Small surely starts? Does Jack McCaffrey start? Does Paul Mannion come back in? How serious does Desi Farrell take this one? Like, a game against Kerry at Croke Park, I don't care if it's the league, that's a massive game. That's a massive stage. That's a massive rivalry right there. Kerry are going to come to win this game. Like, make no mistake about it. Like, they come off the back of being hurt last year. I don't know. Like, to be honest, my heart says Dublin are going to win it. But my thing is that we lost to Monaghan at Croke Park. Kerry battered Monaghan away from home as well. I'm like, if Kerry come at 100%, I don't know if Dublin are at 100% yet. Like, Desi pretty much admitted, you know, we were behind the curve there after the Mayo game. A victory over Roscommon at Croke Park. Yep, good performance, good win. Roscommon did get a lot of goal chances in the second half, though, so the Dublin defence does look like we're open a little bit, and that's not good when you're coming in against the Cliffords and O'Shea.
Absolutely not. Like, how dangerous can this be on Saturday, like, before we get into our predictions, with the trio of Clifford again and Sean O'Shea? Like, even against Mayo, it absolutely looked like they were going to tear asunder on any defence, really.
Yeah, no, like, I'd say it's three of the top 10, three of the top 12 anyway, footballers in the country right now, Paddy, David and Sean O'Shea. It's absolutely incredible, the talent that they have in their forward line. Like, David's ability is absolutely frightening. His winner against Mayo was just swoosh. Like, I mean, swish, like, basically. Like, that was such a nice jink onto the left, over the bar. Beautiful score. And that put the game to bed at that point. The main thing coming into this game is Dublin need to have a plan for them. And maybe Theo Clancy, like, as Luke said on our pod yesterday, maybe, like, Theo Clancy being put in is the option, because it's the perfect way to kick the tires and see if he's ready for the road, because this could finish in the championship where he has to mark David Clifford in the championship, and it would be good to get some experience marking him before then.
Absolutely, and yeah, it's going to be very difficult for Dublin to deal with those trio forwards. I personally think that Kerry will go on and win this game by a point or two, but what do you think yourself? Are you going to go for your own county and bat them to the hills, or, no pun intended, obviously Hill 16 there as well, but would you back Kerry to go on and win this game, Rodder?
Brutally honest, probably. Brutally honest, I think this game might mean a slight bit more to Kerry to win, based off what happened in last year's final, based off the photo just behind me there, just in case anyone hasn't seen it, of McCarthy lifting the trophy, based off the fact that Kerry failed to beat Dublin. And, like, this is what I know, that last year they won the All-Ireland, they beat Galway in the All-Ireland final, credit to them, but they would have wanted to beat Dublin in the final and have that win the trophy after them. Beating Dublin in an All-Ireland final is something Kerry haven't done since 1985, I believe it is. So that one would have really hurt Kerry that they lost that one. Because it seemed like their time had come. I genuinely thought that this was the moment where the torch would be passed. I did pick Dublin to win, but in the second half, I was worried because I remember at halftime thinking Dublin had played really well. Gainey got that goal, and I was thinking, I don't know if we're going to win this, because Kerry were right in it, even though they had played nowhere near their level. And that's, being honest, at the All Ireland final, I thought Dublin gave everything that they could. I thought Kerry still had a level to go up. Like, if I'm being honest, Clifford didn't play at his best. Other players didn't play at their best. So I was walking out of Croke Park thinking, Dublin won, yes, but okay, Kerry are only going to get better next year, in my opinion. Kerry are only going to get better. And moving Shawnee to full forward, yeah, I'm going to go Kerry by a point or two. But I think it's very much 50-50, but I think Kerry will probably nick it.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Kerry win as well. And yeah, it'd be very interesting to see Davis' performance in Croke Park, most definitely from the Fossa man. Speaking of tight games, we move on to another one, Tyrone against Mayo in Healy Park at 5:15 live on RT2. But the last time these sides faced each other in Oma, Tyrone won the game. And it was kind of unexpected at the time. Tyrone got the pedestal to get up and avoid relegation at that time. You look at Mayo's form, though, it's really, really good. Tyrone, they'll be relying on Darragh Canavan in this game. He, out of 8 shots in the games against Galway and UCD in the Sigurdsson Cup final, he put over 7 of them. So that's about 80% shot accuracy, which is absolutely incredible from the young man. And you'd have to feel, if Tyrone play him for the full 70 minutes, they have a huge chance of going on and win this game. But having said that, Mayo took a lot of positives from getting out of the game against Kerry and Tralee. In fairness, they were down to 14 men for 10 minutes. They still got back into the game. And if it wasn't for a wonder score from David Clifford, they would have got a draw. So you could see either side winning this.
Yeah, and it's do or die for Tyrone. Like, if you don't win this game, you only have, what is it, Kerry, Monaghan and Dublin left to face. So, like, there's, like, you really need to win this game, because it would push you a hell of a lot closer to survival. But losing that game to Galway might prove extremely costly that they lost that game, because I don't think they're going to beat Kerry and I don't think they're going to beat Dublin. So where are you getting the points from? Monaghan always pick up towards the end of the league as well. We know that. So that will be no easy game in its own right. It's massive for Tyrone. Darragh Canavan, like, his form is crucial. We haven't seen Rory Canavan hit the lights out just yet. I wonder, will this be the game that he clicks into the gear? Mayo, on the other hand, you're right, showed all the fight that they always do against Kerry, pulled themselves right back. Robbie Henley to start.
Oh,
that's very, very interesting. I thought he was gone. I thought he wasn't coming back. I thought Colm Reap had the spot on lockdown. But evidently not. I'll be interested to see how he gets on now. Actually, I wonder, will Tyrone try and test his nerve a little bit in the first few minutes? But this is, like, Tyrone, it's so hard to know what to make of them, because I was saying this on my pod yesterday. Like, I genuinely think if you were to make a 15 out of the lads that aren't playing for Tyrone but could, against the lads that are playing for Tyrone, I think it would be a very close match. Like, genuinely, I think it would be a very close match. Because on one team, you'd have, obviously, the Tyrone team that's going to line out on the weekend. But then on the other team, you'd have the Brennan brothers, Lee Brennan and Rory Brennan. You'd have Paul Donaghy. You'd have Conor McKenna. You'd have Tiernan McCann. You'd have Benny Gallen in goal. Like, do you see what I mean? Like, it's a pretty good team that they'd be up against, of lads that just aren't playing for Tyrone this year for a multitude of different reasons. Richie Donnelly would be in midfield as well. Ronan McNamee and Niall Sludden in the team as well, 2 All-Stars. Like, it's definitely a team that could be better, is what I'm saying. They could have more players that have stepped away in the team. And I remember after their All-Ireland win in 2021, I remember looking down the list of players that they had and being like, my God, they have some serious strength and depth. And it was like all those lads just got fed up with not getting enough game time. So they all walked away from the panel, which is fair enough. You can't really argue with that. But it's left Tyrone in this weird position where they're bringing in all these youngsters as if they don't have players in their 20s that are good enough to play for Tyrone. But they do. They've loads of them. they're just not playing because they're not guaranteed game time. So they're in a strange position. Back to this game, it's do or die for Tyrone. But if I'm being 100% honest, I picked them to go down at the start of the league. I'm trying to stay faithful to my predictions. And I'm going to go for Mayo to nick it. In a dramatic fashion, Mayo is never boring. Mayo will win by a point or two in the last few minutes.
Yeah, I think so as well. And Denise with another comment in here. I've heard James Carr's out injured and may be coming on for the last few matches of games. And may, oh yeah, cool. Yeah, he's a very important player. Minutes she's saying there. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'd expect Mayo to want to win this game as well. And I said at the start of the season, like yourself, Seamus, that Tyrone will go down. Sticking to my prediction there, despite them beating Roscommon on the first day. To be honest, I predicted Roscommon to go down as well. So it's all looking good in my predictions, to be honest with you. But you have to feel they had to beat Galway last week. They didn't do that. It's extra pressure here.
I would just Mayo battered Galway as well.
Yeah.
So this is not good.
It's not good, really. And that was a Galway team with Shane Walsh on the pitch. So
yeah,
it doesn't look good for Tyrone. And I'm going to go for Mayo win in that game as well. Speaking of Galway, they're up against Derry this week in Pierce Stadium at 1:45 on TG Carr. You would say, looking at the table, Derry are the best team in the league. They have 6 points. They should win this game easily. And deservedly so. Shane McGuigan's at brilliant form at the moment. I think I'll see the stat from Carroll Kane. He hit 24 shots in the 3 games and he's converted 21, which is an incredible record. It's just scary in many ways from a brilliant forward in many ways. Conor Glass is performing better than he ever has in any season. But there is a stat as well. Derry haven't beaten Galway in any competition, I think, in 20 plus years. Will Sunday be the time to break that record?
Form says yes, but as the stats that you've just listed off there suggest, Galway don't fear Derry in any way, shape or form. They are not going to look at this as this Derry team that's unbeatable. Galway battered Derry in the league in 2022. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Galway then battered them in the All-Ireland semi-final in the same year. And I know that this is a completely revamped Derry team. Like, they've not revamped, but like completely progressed. They've made huge, huge strides since they faced Galway last. But you wonder, is their mentality still a little bit damaged from that 2022 All-Ireland semi-final when Galway just had their way with them at the end? Look, for Derry, this is a massive game because it's under Mickey Hart and it's a way to kind of show that they are so much better than they were 2 years ago. As if anybody needs reminding, but this is the perfect way to do it. If they go out there and beat Galway handsomely, you know that Derry have taken, you know, we know that they've taken those strides forwards, but it's just another indication of how far they've come. I am going to go with them to win it, but I do think that it's a dangerous game. I think it's a very much a potential banana skin for Derry because Galway, now that they got that win against Tyrone, their tails are up. They have only lost 1 game out of 3. So they haven't been as bad as everybody's been making out. Like, the Mayo game was a terrible day at the office. But then they drew against Roscommon where they fought back at the end to get the draw. And then they went away and they beat Tyrone. So it's a pretty meh league that they've had so far. They've had 1 win, 1 draw, 1 loss, a complete mixed bag. So they're coming into this game as underdogs, but they have the talent to win this game. And nobody can tell me that they don't. Because just last year, Galway were apparently, you know, everybody's tipped to win the All-Ireland out of nowhere. So how have we suddenly completely shifted over to the other side where they're useless? They still have Shane Walsh. They still have Damien Comer. I don't know if they're going to be playing. Probably not. But they still have Rob Finnerty, Sean Kelly. Like, a lot of cracking footballers there. They have the talent to win it, but I think Derry right now just look unstoppable. It looks like they feel unstoppable as well. And I'm going to go Derry to win this by about 2 points. But if I was to put an underdog bet of the week, it would be this one for Galway to win. But I'm going Derry.
You would think that a lot of people would go for Derry in this one, but I'm going to sneak it for Galway at home. You never know. Like, I know Shane Walsh is out, Damien Comer's out. Like, what I will say, their shot accuracy for play the last against Tyrone was superb, 75%. If they go up to that level again and just need to convert a few frees. Like Rob Finnerty missed a few, Matthew Tierney missed a few last weekend as well. If they click on the free taking, I think Galway could look very good in this game, and I think they'll go on and win it. But I think the key is if Sean Kelly starts, if he goes on Shane McGuigan, that'll be an almighty battle. So look out for that. Look out for that this weekend. And the final game was Division 1, and it is Roscommon against Monaghan. I'd be safe to say, Seamus, this is a relegation four-pointer. And actually, a stat that I've seen on GAA League tables, check this county if you haven't already. I looked through the table of all the 32 counties, and looking at defensive records, Monaghan have the worst defence out of all four divisions, conceding a total of 67 points. Is that a worry for Monaghan?
It definitely is. But then at the same time, they've played two of what everybody is saying are the three front runners for the All-Ireland. They played the three front runners for the All-Ireland. They've played Dublin, Derry and Kerry. So if you told them at the start of the league, you're going to go away to Croke Park, you're going to have Kerry at home and you're going to go away to Celtic Park, you come out of that with 2 points. They probably, yeah, fair enough. All things considered. So they are where they are. Vinnie Corey would have probably eyed up more Roscommon, Galway, Tyrone and Mayo and said, that's where we need to get our points from. We probably won't get that much points out of Dublin, Derry and Kerry, but they did get the victory against Dublin. So they're off to probably further along than a lot of people would have thought they would have been. I don't think anybody would have picked them to beat Dublin on the first day out. I don't think anybody would have picked them to beat Kerry, and I don't think many people would have picked them to beat Derry either. So they're not in a shock position. They're not like, what's going on here? Monaghan in crisis. They're not. They had a bad day out against Kerry and they had a bad day out against Derry, but they're not all of a sudden a bad team. They can turn it back on for this game. Surviving is what Monaghan do. Like, we've seen this time and time again. I picked them to go down in 2022. Not only did they stay up, they relegated Dublin in the process. So I very much learned the hard way not to pick against Monaghan. Did I go there or did you, or what happened there?
I think we both went, but carry on.
Okay. But yeah, no, so I learned the hard way not to pick against Monaghan. Surviving is what Monaghan do. And in this game, this is one of the games that they need to win to survive. And do you know what? In the blistering cold and the blistering rain of Dr. Hyde Park, where it has its own climate, I think Monaghan will win a battle by a point. And that will be like the key victory in them staying up again in 2024.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Monaghan as well. And maybe they need to start worrying about their defence. Even looking at that stat there, it is kind of worrying. I know they came up against Derry, Kerry and Dublin, but to concede that much within three games is a bit worrying, in fairness, from an Ulster team more than anything. So, but in fairness, I think Monaghan, they do enough in these sorts of games in every single season, Division 1, and they do so again, in my opinion, and I think they beat Roscommon. We'll move on to Division 2, and we'll start off with two games that involve two counties that, you know, are an absolute mess right now. Not Meath. I want to made that pretty abundantly clear. It's the next game I'm talking about, the next team. But the first team I am going to talk about is Kildare. They are going to Park Tarleton in Meath on Sunday at 2 p.m. The performance against Armagh, Seamus, was drab, to be honest, from a Kildare point of view. Glenn Ryan's post-match interview or fight with the Kildare Nationalist journalist didn't look good either. There doesn't seem to be a good cohesion in the camp either amongst the senior panel. Like, I don't know what is going on with the Kildare team, but they have to fix it up for this weekend. If they don't, they could be staring down the barrel of the Tata Cup.
No, if they lose this weekend, they're down. Like, they are down because they still have Donegal to face. And they're not winning that. So if they lose to Donegal, then they still have to face Louth, who are going to outbattle them. There's no question about that. Louth will outfight them. Like, the Louth will show more determination than Kildare, and then they're pretty much gone. Like, I don't think they're winning any game left in Division 2, which is crazy to say. Like, I mean, what else do they have left apart from they've Louth, they have Cork, and they have Donegal? So apart from Donegal, like, their best bet probably getting a win might be against Cork, but it's just crazy to me that Kildare haven't managed to make this work. because 2022, as like the perfect stat says, they went from being a team that were so unlucky to go down from Division One to a team that were so lucky to stay up in Division Two in just 1 year. Like, the players are there. We've been through this. The juvenile structures are there producing the players. They've produced All Ireland under 20 wins in 2018 and 2023 and the final appearance in 2022. And then on the sideline, they have the biggest legends that have ever played for Kildare football. So why are they not clicking? Where is the disconnect? Why is it not working? And Glenn Ryan coming out and pointing fingers left and right. The more things go wrong for a manager, the more they start pointing fingers, the more things go wrong. Then it's a nasty loop that the more you start attacking people, the more leaks come out and the more he's falling out with this person, he's falling out with this person until he goes. So he has to try and turn it around. The players have to try and turn it around. And this is a game where they might be able to, because Meath aren't any great shakes either. Like, Meath are in a better place than Kildare, and they showed a hell of a lot of fight to get the win against Louth. But Meath are hardly pushing for promotion out of Division 2. So it shows how far Kildare have fallen that people are like, oh, Meath will have them. Why? Why have Kildare fallen so far that this is a walkover game for Meath? Kildare have the talent to win this game. There's no question about it. Kildare, if they put out their best 15 lads, they would have the best. They have the best lads available to Kildare. They would have a very good chance of winning this game. If they had Daniel Flynn, Kevin Feely, Kevin Flynn, Jimmy Highland, Mick O'Grady, all Alex Byrne, Darragh Kerwin, all singing off the same hymn sheet and on top form, Kildare would have a great chance of winning this game. And they would have won games like Cavan, like Fermanagh. So it's baffling to me that there is this disconnect and they're failing to get a performance when they have that team to pick from. So, look, I am going Meath to win after that whole spiel, because I just think Kildare can't get out of their own way. And I think the way and the pace that this is going at with Glenn Ryan, there's only one way it ends, and that's crashing and burning. It ends with him walking away among a lot of turmoil and, you know, a real mess for whoever comes in to clean up, if they can't turn it around themselves. If they can, then that's wonderful to see. And I genuinely would be happy to see that, because I don't like seeing a county like Kildare in the mud the way that they are right now. I want to see them pull themselves out of the fire. And a victory against Meath, because we talked about this in the league, if they go away to Meath and beat them, it doesn't completely turn, but it gives people just the tiniest little shimmer of maybe something can change here. Because people would want it to work. Because Glenn Ryan is such a legend in Kildare football. He was the beating heart of that 98 Kildare team that reached the All-Ireland final. He's unbelievable that year. So people are rooting for this to work. He wasn't the most qualified person in terms of managerial experience to take that job. Davy Burke was definitely ahead of him in terms of CVs as a manager. But Glenn Ryan got it, because I think what he did as a player had a hell of a lot to do with it. So people are rooting for it to work out, and I hope it does work out. And a victory against Meath this weekend would be a massive step towards potentially making that happen.
It would definitely, but you're predicting Meath win. I'm predicting Meath win as well. And it'd be difficult for Kildare to really win in this game. And Meath, they do have young players. They're showing a lot of fight. And that's
the one thing that's bad for me, though, is Jack Flynn leaving.
Yeah, but we probably, there might be personal reasons behind that, Seamus. We have to, you know.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, it's a knock. I'm not saying it's anything to do with the backup. Or the background of the team or anything like that. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying he is a loss.
He is definitely a loss. They do still have players like Donny McGould, who's doing very well in the league. So, like, they still have players to step up, and Colm O'Rourke is building a good team there. So I think Meath are going on a better, you know, journey than Kildare this season. And I think they'll go on and win this game as well. And the second team in turmoil at the moment are going to a journey this weekend. It is my own County Cork. They're going to Fermanagh at 2 p.m. on Sunday. a lot of Cork fans were very unhappy with last Saturday's defeat to Cavan. A lot of journalists were very unhappy. I was very unhappy going on Gaelic Games Fan TV. I read John Hayes' column on the Southern Star as well. Not good stuff. Ger McCarthy and Pierre McCarthy wrote frustration and things like that about the Cork footballers. I will say the players are trying their best. They don't go out and lose the game and just say that we want to lose this game and whatever. They are trying their best. But something clearly isn't working, Seamus. And if they lose against Fermanagh this weekend, like Kildare, you could wave goodbye to Division 2 and hello, Tailteann Cup.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing for Cork. I think they lose this, I think they're down. Like, which is mad to say, because Cork still have to face Armagh, which is a game that you wouldn't be entirely confident that they will win. Then they have to face Meath, which will be a difficult game, and then Kildare. So there's one game that I'd make them favourites in out of the remaining three after this one. So it looks really, really serious now for Cork. Like they messed up their opportunity to kind of take it easy when they lost to Cavan and when they lost to Louth. That changed everything. That wiped away this whole, you can experiment. Now it's like, no, you need to, you know, get your head out of the sand now and start winning these games, because if you don't, you're going down. It's a really, really difficult game. It's the type of game that this Fermanagh game, like player for player, Cork have more skilled players. They have better footballers. But Fermanagh have such a good system. Everyone knows their job. Everyone knows their role. And players like Sean Cassidy and Ulton Kelm are just playing fantastic football right now. It's a really dangerous game for Cork, this one, because it's where Kildare went and got beaten. If Cork lose this one, I wouldn't be stunned. I have picked them to pip this one by a point or two. Just show a bit of defiance and win this game. But when it comes to the issues, I completely agree with you. Cork are trying their best. Like, it's not like Kildare where they're folding after, you know, 5 minutes. It's they're giving their all. But I think it's what I said on my podcast to you. I think the issue with Cork is that they're doing a one-size-fits-all. Like I've said it to you on the pod, like I think they set out in a way to beat Mayo and it worked. They set out in a certain way to beat Roscommon and it worked. They set out in a certain way to go toe-to-toe with Derry and go toe-to-toe with Kerry and it worked. But then they set out in the exact same way against Cavan, against Loud, sorry, and they sat off Cork and they were like, okay, come get us. And Cork don't really know how to do that. They're a bit like, well, we're set up to do this and you want us to do this? That type of thing, yeah, it's difficult. And that whole thing of like styles make fights, Cork would be actually quite good, I think, as like a Division 1 lower table, like battling and taking the odd win here and there off Roscommon, Mayo, Galway, Tyrone. I think they'd almost be better at that than putting away teams that they should beat in lower Division 2. I think there's an argument for it, because it's like they're trained to do that. And that's why games like this are difficult for them. And that's why, as you said, they had 5 goal chances against Loud, didn't take them. They missed a sitter against Cavan as well when it hit the crossbar. Like, it's things like that that are like, I think Cork are still finding their feet again in terms of being a dominant team that puts teams away that they should beat. But I do think they will win this game by just a point or two. And I think that will steer them back on the right path. I still wouldn't be sure that they'll stay up even if they win this game, though.
Yeah, I think they lose this game, to be honest with you, Seamus. I'm being negative again. I just think if we play the same way as we're playing over the last few weeks, we're going down and we're going to lose this game. I honestly think Fermanagh, they have Sean Cassidy, Ulton Kelm, Shane McGullion. They have excellent players all over the field. They know their jobs. They know their system. I think it'll be enough to get them over the line. But before we move on to the next two Division 2 games, we had a discussion on this podcast about Tailteann Cup and who's suited for this competition and stuff like that. And you said infamously, I'll say, that Clare should be in the Tailteann Cup because it's an opportunity to win a trophy. And if they were in the Tailteann Cup, they'd win it. Would you say the same thing about Cork and Kildare? Putting you on the spot now, but would you?
I mean, potentially at this stage. Because, like, if you look at it, I probably didn't make that point as best as I could initially at the time about the reasons why I was saying it. But let's look at it in hindsight. They beat Cork. They qualified for the All-Ireland. Let's open up a new timeline here on the left. They lose to Cork. They go to the Tarleton Cup. I think that they would have been good enough to win the Tarleton Cup. I truly believe with Owen Cleary, Jamie Malone, Keelan Sexton, all those lads playing, I think they would have been good enough to win the Tarleton Cup. So let's say they get to the final and they beat Meath or they beat Down in the final, which is entirely conceivable. They have beaten both of those sides in the last few years in the championship. Let's say they win. So let's go to the reality. Clare finished their reign under Colm Collins off the back of three quite heavy defeats in the group stages of the All-Ireland. They lost to Donegal, and then the other two were quite heavy beatings. Colm O'Rourke finished off his first year with Meath with a Sunshine Tarleton Cup victory in Croke Park after being in turmoil in the league. Do you get what I mean? Do you remember when everybody was saying after the Tarleton Cup, oh, Meath, they're going in the right direction again, and he got that photo with Sean Boylan on the pitch and the trophy lift by Donal Keoghan, and everything was like Meath put in a great performance. Colm O'Rourke wins a national trophy. You're like, that would have been a better way for Colm Collins to go out. Personally, I think that would have been a better way. Look, I know that they wouldn't have qualified for the All-Ireland. And for that moment that they didn't qualify for the All-Ireland, it would have been disastrous at the time for a team that good to not be in the All-Ireland Championship. But I'm just saying, Meath's year kind of went like this. They kind of went down for the league, and then they lost to Offaly and it went further down, but then it picked back up and it finished up on an up. Clare started on an up. Then they had a dip when they got relegated. Then they shot back up after they beat Cork, and then they slumped back down. They got hammered by Kerry and they lost all three of their group games. That's not how Colm Collins deserved to go out. He deserved a trophy on the national stage where everybody would acknowledge just how good he's been as Clare manager. Because you know this, and I know this. If Clare had a beaten Meath or beaten Down in the Tarleton Cup final, the whole country would have been talking. The whole GA media would have been giving this man his flowers, saying, you know, what a job he's done. The longest serving manager in the GAA, you know, steps away after winning the Tarleton Cup in Croke Park with Clare. I know, are Clare good enough to compete in the All-Ireland Championship? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't think they're going to win it. And I know that is harsh, but it's just, that's how I saw things at the time. You're not going to win the All-Ireland, but you might win the Tarleton Cup. So it's like a cruel to be kind type situation that if you end up there, it's like, might as well win it now. And that's what happened to Meath, and they won it. And if Cork finish off the year with a Tarleton Cup win while getting minutes into the likes of David Buckley, Cathal O'Mahony, Mark Cronin, it's not a bad year then.
Some people might argue that, would it have the argument, though, that Cork and Kildare players won't be, I say this mildly, wouldn't be arsed to play in the Tarleton Cup? Could there be
Potentially, but... Meath absolutely gutted their team when they went into the Tarleton Cup. Colm O'Rourke gave out 13 debuts in the Tarleton Cup. He completely changed his team. Brought in the likes of Aaron Lynch, Jack Flynn, Jack O'Connor, all got more minutes. Sean Brennan. He completely changed the entire team. But it worked. They won the Tarleton Cup. And I personally didn't think that they were going to win it until the goal went in, the weirdest goal I've ever seen in Croke Park. It's a conflicting debate. It is a very much a conflicting debate. And the reason I am saying it is that I think that when you do the work that Colm Collins did, when you sacrifice as much as he did and built that team up as much as he did, and the players that he lost, like Gary Brennan, David Tubridy, Joe Hayes in goal, Aaron Fitzgerald to the Hurlers, he lost all those players and he consistently rebuilt that team and kept them competing at Division 2 for so long. But eventually they slipped under to Division 3.
And then, the rumors that he was going and everything. And my thing was, this man deserves a national trophy before he steps out the door. He's not going to win Munster because Kerry are there. And Kerry hammered them in the final to hammer that point home that they weren't going to beat Kerry. And then Kerry are still in the All-Ireland. And you wouldn't beat Dublin either. And you probably wouldn't beat Derry either. Hence why they put 5 goals past you in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. So your best bet of winning something was the Tailteann Cup. But I know, and I completely understand that mindset, that if everybody was trying to lose to get into the Tailteann Cup, it would be a backwards way of thinking. I agree. It's a backwards way of thinking if you're thinking that you want to progress and you want to go up the levels. But for 1 year, if you just wanted to win something to send Collins out on a high, your best bet was the Tailteann Cup.
Yeah. Interesting debate, and it will be debated long
into the night. And by the way, just the last point, I completely get it. Like, comments from people saying, like, no, we want to compete with the best. Absolutely understand that. I absolutely understand that. It genuinely was coming from a point where I wanted to say, Colm Collins deserves to win a trophy before he walks out the door. And when they got relegated from Division 2, you knew that it wasn't going to happen in Munster because Kerry were on flying form and were the defending All-Ireland champions. And you knew it wasn't going to happen in the All-Ireland. So I wanted him to win a trophy. And I phrased that badly, but I genuinely wanted Collins to win something before he walked out.
I was just going from the standpoint that if you said Clare were suited to it, Cork and Kildare deserve to be in the same bracket. That's the point.
The difference with Cork and Kildare, though, is Colm Collins was like almost the grandfather of Clare football at that stage. Like, he'd been in charge, the longest serving manager in the country. And a lot of the players that he had there, like Cathal O'Connor and Owen Collins and Kieran Russell and, like, David Tubridy, all these guys had been kicking around for years. And all of them looked like they were about to retire. Hence why there's been such an exodus of players away from the Clare team since Collins has retired. A lot of them were probably hanging in there for Colm Collins. It felt like the kind of end of that era of Colm Collins with the Clare team and the end of that particular group. And now it's the new group. Now it's the Emmett McMahons, it's the Aaron Griffins, it's the Gavin Cooneys that have played their way into the team. It's the Ike Magueros, it's the Stephen Ryan in goal. It's a very different Clare team to how it was in 2016 when they made the All-Ireland quarterfinal. And with Cork and with Kildare, they're actively already 3-4 years into the rebuild process. Like, Cork have been trying to rebuild. They've been trying to get Cathal O'Mahony, Damien Gore, these lads into the team. So for Cork, if they got knocked back to the Tailteann Cup, it would be like, well, how have we ended up further back than when we tried to start this rebuild off? Same thing with Kildare, which is why I think if they get knocked into the Tailteann Cup and they don't win it, Glen Ryan's gone. So I think that's why there's a difference. I think it's context of where they are both at. Clare felt like they were coming to the end of an era, like the end of that group of players and the end of the manager being with them. Cork and Kildare are 2 years, 3 years into their transitions. And if they end up further back than they did when they started those transitions, they'll have some questions as to why that has happened.
Exactly so. And we will discuss this in later into the year, I'd imagine. Moving on to the last two games of Division 2, because time is at the essence. Armagh against Donegal is on 3 p.m. on BBC iPlayer and GAA Go. Interesting game, and to be honest, Seamus, I think whoever wins this game is going up straight back up to Division 1.
Agreed. I can't wait to see McGuinness and McGeaney lock horns once again. I mean, it's two absolutely brilliant GAA minds. It's two legends of the game. It's two gods in their own county. And Kieran McGeaney, like, it's Armagh have been flying in Division 2 this year, 3 from 3. Their performance against Kildare was great, but Kildare weren't really a threat to them on that day. Good wins against Meath and against Louth as well. Louth, they didn't look the best, but Louth probably pushed them all the way. And Louth showed that they are no scrubs after Mickey Hart has left, to put it politely. And Donegal, on the other hand, have the eyes of the country on them. Like, I had Leo McLoone on my podcast. Great interview, great guy. And I asked him I asked him, I said, like, what's the main difference that you see between Donegal now with Jim coming back and Donegal in 2011 when Jim took over? And he said, everybody expects results this time. And he said, there was no expectation on Jim really at the time. Donegal were ranked number 19 in the country when Jim McGuinness took over. And this time, Donegal have this mythology around Jim McGuinness. Jimmy's winning matches and he comes back in. All those players that he has now at his disposal would have been looking, watching that Donegal team with Jim McGuinness in charge the first time. Like the Oisin Gallons, the Darrow Builes, they all would have been watching that Donegal team. And now Jim is managing them. So it's like, well, if anybody's going to turn this ship around, it's Jim McGuinness. And Jim McGuinness has come back more or less out of nowhere as well. It was very quick from nothing to he's in. And the hype comes along with it. So he's done it really well so far. The victory over Cork was very impressive. Cavan pushed them all away. They still found a way to win. And then match day three, obviously, they came out in the second half and just battered Fermanagh. So it's been something that has been fairly impressive to watch. This is the toughest test so far. And the one thing that is really, really interesting is Donegal beat Cavan. Armagh have yet to face Cavan. Cavan are quietly sitting on 4 points. If Cavan win this weekend against Louth, Cavan will be level on points with Armagh and the two of them are still to face each other. There is a chance that Cavan nip ahead.
Maybe so, yeah. So are you predicting Donegal to win this game?
I'm going to predict Donegal to win, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Donegal as well. And while we're on Cavan, this is the last game of Division 2. Lowell against Cavan in RD on Sunday at 2 p.m. Cavan are going well. Very good win against Cork the last day. I know Cork were very poor, but Cavan set out a plan. They did absolutely brilliantly. And Darragh VT wasn't playing either. So huge credit to Raymond Gallagher's men. But I will say, Cavan looked the better team at the moment. But once they go to RD, it's a tough test. It always is a tough test. So I think Cavan ultimately would win the game, but it would not be easy whatsoever.
No chance this is going to be easy. Absolutely no chance. Derry found it very hard last year as well. Remember when Derry were blitzing teams in Division 2, they found it really hard to beat Louth in RD. RD is a difficult place to go. Louth, very similar to Fermanagh. Everyone knows their job. Everyone knows their roles. They work tirelessly for each other. They really put the shoulder to the wheel and they're burnt by what happened with Mickey Hart going last year. And they came out, they showed against Armagh, they showed against Cork that they mean business. The game against Meath, they'll be annoyed. They let that one pass them by, in my opinion. They were 9-6 ahead of halftime. They let Meath come out and hit 1-6 without reply. That's how the game got beyond them. And they woke up when the goal went in. Tom Jackson belted in a beauty and they nearly snatched the win right at the end. Meath were, you know, at sixes and sevens at the back and they managed to get it out and then that was that. Coming into this game, Louth will be very confident that they can take anyone at home. Like they really, really back their home form. They make it difficult for any team that comes to Louth to play against them. And I'll be very interested to watch this game just to see how Cavan get on against them. Cavan have done great. You know, we were all watching to see how Galligan's management brigade would get on. It's made a brilliant start. And I will go with Cavan to take this one because I think they're an outside shot for promotion now.
They definitely are. And if results go their way, they could definitely be in the conversation. For this week, because there's hurling, we'll just discuss one game between Division 3 and Division 4. The game I've selected is this one. I know Down earned 6 points and Offaly earned 0 points. This is at 6 p.m. on Saturday in Park Esler. But Offaly, in particular, Seamus, what has gone on? 3 losses, a lot of young players in, like Jack Bryant, Cormac Egan, the under-20 winning team from 2021. You have Declan Kelly coming in as manager. I thought Offaly were on the road to get back to where they should be, but doesn't look that way so far. And if it wasn't for Limerick and Wicklow on 0 points as well, Offaly could be in big trouble at the moment. I think they'll lose this weekend to Down, in all honesty, but what has gone on?
Difficult to say. The manner of the defeat as well to Clare was a difficult one to take for Offaly. They were 8 points clear with, you know, time running out and Clare just absolutely pulled it back out of nowhere. It was an extraordinary comeback from Clare, but at the same time, you do have to look at Offaly and be like, how did that happen? Like, come on, lads, like game management. And the thing is I don't like game management where you just pretend you have a hamstring injury or hold on to the ball for 10 minutes. I don't like the game being like that. I like when there's late comebacks. I like when, you know, things are crazy. I mean, like my same as yourself, my favorite passages in Gaelic games are the 10 minutes where everything's just mental. Like Dublin Kerry 2011 is a perfect example where Dublin just came back out of nowhere. That, like, moments like that are what makes the game so exciting. But you do have to look at Offaly and be like, come on, how did that happen? Like, how are we 8 points clear at one stage and still lost the game? At any stage of the game, if you get 8 points clear, you should win. So Offaly would be very disappointed that they didn't. And this one, going away to Port Gessler, I see nothing but a down win. Down are flying high. They're on a one-way ticket out of Division 3. Oran Murdoch is a great, great, great player. Liam Kerr, Caelum Doherty, the Johnstons, they're clicking. And Down are going to win this and keep their 100% record intact.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Down to win that game as well. And we'll just run through the rest of Division 3 here. So we have Clare against Wicklow at 1 p.m. on Sunday. We have Westmead against Limerick at 2 p.m. on Sunday. And Sligo against Antrim, which is actually an interesting game at 2 p.m. on Sunday. But for them games, Seamus, I'm going to predict Clare, Westmead and Sligo to win those games. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, just as we said on our show there yesterday, like, clean sweep for the home teams. I think Clare win, I think Sligo win, I think Westmead win. Westmead and Down look streets ahead of the rest of the division, if I'm 100% honest. And what's crazy is that if we're correct in those results, Wicklow, Offaly and Limerick will be on 0 points after four games. Three teams on 0 points after four games. I mean, when's the last time that happened?
I don't know if it's ever happened. Double check it, you know.
Exactly. It's that on the weekend, surely.
Exactly, yeah. Definitely getting ready for that. And moving on to Division 4, quickly before the hurling. So we've Carlo against Leitrim at 2 p.m. on Sunday. We've Tipperary against Laois at 2 p.m. on Sunday as well. We've Wexford against Waterford on Saturday at 5 p.m. and Longford against London at 1 p.m., which is a double header with the ladies' football. The ladies' football is at 3 o'clock as well, which is brilliant to see from Longford GA in general. But for those games, James, I'm predicting Carlo, Laois, Wexford, and Longford to win those games. Do you agree?
With 3 out of 4, apart from one change, we're going Leitrim to beat Carlo. Look, I know it's away from home. And Carlo definitely will want to bounce back after a disappointing defeat to Laois. But I think Leitrim look like they could be about to get promoted this time. I think that they've been promising over the last few years. But I think that this year there's a little bit different energy around them. They did fight to the death to beat Wexford and got that last minute penalty from Ryan O'Rourke, which won them the game. Ryan O'Rourke back in, scored a hat trick. Absolutely brilliant to have him back in the side. Carlo, on the other hand, could be dangerous. Players like Mikey Bambrick, Jamie Clark, Jordan Morrissey have been firing for them. It's definitely the game that if Leitrim win it, I think they'll get promoted. If they don't, well, it's just another year where shoulda, woulda, coulda. Laois, on the other side, have, like, they look, as Luke said, every team in every division, sorry, so far in the league has the team. Derry are the team in Division 1. Armagh, Donegal are that in Division 2. Westmead and Down are that in Division 3. Laois are that in Division 4. Laois look streets ahead of everybody else. They really beat Longford quite easy. They beat Carlow quite easy. In what were the games? And they beat Wexford quite easy as well. So I kind of expect that they'll win this game quite easy as well against Tipperary.
Yeah, an interesting comment there from Denise about Dan Gallagher. Yeah, but to be honest, like, even Rowden, they should beat London, to be honest, which is so...
And the other two, I think they'll beat London, and I think Wexford will beat Waterford too.
Yeah, exactly. And Denise saying we're not looking the way we should. But to be fair, Denise, you should beat London, let's be honest. At home, Waterford should beat London in general. So we move on to hurling now. We're over there. We're in, so we'll speed through the hurling only for a few games. The first game included Cork against Waterford in Super Value Park. You keep at 3:45 on TJ Carr. Look, from a Cork point of view, I wouldn't panic just yet. Kilkenny and Clare are good sides. They're usually taking the league seriously. Clearly, the national trophy on the board. Kilkenny wants to start off well. But to be honest, Pat Ryan's team, just for a bit of confidence, need to go on and win this game. And I think they will eventually against Waterford, who performed a bit weirdly the last game against Clare. I think Cork should go on and win this game.
It's a massive game for both sides because of the stats that they've had to the league. Like, Waterford beat Offaly correct, but then lost to Clare. in what was a bit of a fiery game, but for Waterford to come out of what was the fiery end to the first half and come out in the second half and just let Clare kind of have their way was pretty disappointing. I expected more fight from Waterford there. Cork, on the other hand, look, they've lost to Clare and Kilkenny. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Like, they're two sides that are right in the mix for the All-Ireland. Cork fought back in both of those games as well and had periods where they were completely on top. So I wouldn't be panicking at all, to be honest, if I was Pat Ryan of Cork. Look, some worrying things that, like, look, they made poor starts in both of the games. They took a long time to get into it, and they still look like they can't really decide on their six best forwards, which I've said is the common problem for Cork over the last 6 years, that 1 year it's been Conor Lehan, the next year it's been Patrick Horgan and Seamus Harnady have been the constants, but in the corners, 1 year it's been Lehan and Jack O'Connor. Next year it's been Alan Connolly and Shane Barrett. Next year it's been Shane Kingston and Declan Dalton. It's like, come on, lads, will you just pick two and stick with them? Because Limerick have Peter Casey and Aaron Gillan and Seamus Flanagan in the full forward line every game. And that means that those lads know how to play each other. They bounce off each other so easy. And that's why I also think, if you look at it, that they're going into the Dublin game this weekend, they're sticking with Dunico, Dalig, Adam English, like, and Flanagan playing together, because Adam English and Dunico, Dalig, for them to learn how to play with each other, that helps them as a unit as well. It makes sense the way that they do it, and they're the champions for a reason as well. And little things like that definitely help them, just in those tiny, 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 tiny little percentages that help Limerick get over the line. I think that's one of them. The way that they know each other inside out, the way that this team knows how each other plays. So not only does Declan Hannan know what Declan Hannan needs to do, but everyone else around him knows what Declan Hannan's going to do. So Dermot Burns can play the way that he can. Kyle Hayes can play the way that he can, because they know, if I miss this ball, Declan Hannan's going to be there. And that's why Limerick just have that, you know, telekinetic trust almost in each other, that they know where they're going to be. For Cork, you know, they're building that, and there's no question. I think Cork will win this game. It's in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I think Cork have the hurlers to win this game. Waterford, it looked like they're developing a bit of a siege mentality. Davy Fitz is definitely, in my opinion, doing the dirty dozen trick of being like, everyone thinks you're useless, everyone thinks we're crap. Like, I just don't see them getting out of Munster. I don't see them getting out of Munster. I think the Davy project will be finished this time next year. I don't see it bearing the fruits that we initially thought it might.
Yeah, but Austin Gleeson leaving the panel as well, it doesn't look good for Waterford.
So like, Connor Gleeson, like, why are these lads leaving? Why is Stephen O'Keefe and Eric Mahoney just being like, nah, I'm good? come on.
Yeah, and even they do have young players in fairness, like Patrick Fitzgerald, Padraig Fitzgerald, Mark Fitzgerald, who played in the Fitzgibbon Cup for UL, the first to play for SCTU Waterford, and did very well. There are good players in Waterford, and you have Owen Kelly from Tip in the backroom team there, and Donegal O'Callaghan as a coach there as well from Munster Rugby.
So, Owen Kelly doing work experience before he joins Liam Cahill's team?
Don't go into that on this podcast now. Yeah, that's another discussion for another day. But we were discussing Limerick there. We'll move on to this game in Croke Park, Dublin against Limerick in Division 1B on Saturday, 5:15, live at the TG Car Player and app. A bit of news for the Limerick team. Kyle Hayes has been picked on the team, and obviously it's a big story, but we won't discuss this on this podcast. But for Dublin, Seamus, like, it's looking at the names of the team sheet for Limerick, it looks like a daunting task for Micheál Donoghue's men on Saturday night.
Yeah, they've picked a strong team. Like, Hayes is in, but William O'Donoghue's in. Gerard Hegarty's in. I have the team here. I have the full team. So yeah, I'll just go with it. But like, I'll waffle along while I get the team up. But basically, Limerick come into this game off the back of two wins. Dublin come in where we beat Antrim with a last minute goal from Sean Gallagher, and it was a mistake by the goalkeeper Tiernan Smith that let that ball go into the back of the net. Like, you look at Limerick's team here, they've gone Nicky Quaid in goal, Mike Casey fullback, Fergal O'Connor right cornerback, Barry Nash left corner, halfback line, Dermot Burns, David Reedy, Kyle Hayes, Will O'Donoghue and Darragh O'Donovan in midfield. Giroud, Hegarty, Cahill, O'Neill, Conor Boylan. And then full forward line, Dunico, Dolig, Shane O'Brien, apologies, I said Seamus Flanagan, and Adam English. Like, that's a very, very strong team. Dublin, we looked out of our depth against Tipperary, to be honest, in the first game in Parnell Park. Tipperary looked like they could up the levels whenever Dublin got a little bit too close. And I would be nervous in this one because Limerick seemed to be a bit goal hungry as well in some of their games. So I think in a wide open Croke Park pitch, as Luke said, with the pace that they have in their full forward line, it's a bit of a frightening proposition. I think Limerick will win it. I'm not sure by how much, but I think it will be more than five.
Yeah, I think Limerick should go on and win this game as well. And while we're on Limerick, there is a Limerick Voice podcast coming out next week where I discuss with the sports editor of the Limerick Leader, or Limerick Voice, should I say, Corey O'Brien, about Limerick's five in a row this year, the potential for that. Check that episode if you haven't already. It's going to be out next Tuesday. So check that out if you haven't already next week. It's going to be a very, very good episode, I'd assure you. Moving on to the next competitive hurling game this weekend, Wexford against Clare, Wexford Park at 1:45 on Sunday on TG Car Player and App. Wexford aren't as bad as last year, I will say that. Keith Rossiter has got a good start in them. He's building a team, more or less. And this time last year, actually, Clare hammered Wexford in that result in QZ Park. And it was just an embarrassment for Wexford hurling. And Dara Egan didn't really sew it all together in many ways. Keith Rossiter has, despite the draw against Offaly, they wore down to 13 men. They will put up a test, Wexford, but you'd have to expect Clare to go on and win this game. They're primed to win the league, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Clare will probably win this game. Look, it doesn't have the same spice anymore that it had when Davey was there, does it? But Wexford-Clare is still always a good game to watch. Last year was so embarrassing. I mean, last year everybody across the board was basically saying, like, league doesn't matter. But Wexford performance was so bad last year that everyone was like, ah, here now, come on. I know we're saying it doesn't matter, but like, Jesus, why did you even turn up if you were going to do that? You might as well have just given them a walkover. So like, going into this game, Wexford have a point to prove. Keith Rossiter would have kind of marked this game as being one that we need to show we're better than we were last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if Wexford actually upset the odds here and get a win. But Clare look great. Clare look fantastic. Like, performance against Cork was great the first day. Against Waterford the second day, they had more fight than Waterford, and that's in that spell either side of halftime where they hit 6 points unanswered, that's what won them the game. So in my opinion, Clare win this, make it 3 from 3, and I do think that I agree with you, they're going on to potentially win the league, although when you look across and see Limerick also on 100% record, it could well line up to be a Limerick Clare league final.
You're wetting the appetite, Seamus. You really are. Yeah, I'd fancy Clare to go on and win this game as well. They should beat Wexford, but Wexford's put in a valiant effort. And for the last three Division One games, we're just going to, be honest, speed through them. Tipperary against Westmeath on Saturday at 4 p.m. We have Kilkenny against Offaly on Sunday at 1:45, and Antrim against Galway on Sunday at 1 p.m. Seamus, I don't think we need to explain our picks for these games. Tipperary, Kilkenny and Galway to win this game. Any other thoughts on them?
Yeah, I think, look, Tipperary will beat Westmeath in Semple Stadium. Look, Westmeath put in a great performance against Limerick last week. Game was only really finally put to bed when Dunico O'Dowd got the goal in the 63rd minute, I think it was. But there is no way, in my opinion, that they go down to Semple Stadium and beat Tipperary. Like, Tip are playing too well right now. They beat Galway there last week, so you can't really tell me that Westmeath are going to beat them. Then the second game is like Kilkenny Offaly. Look, Offaly had a great performance against Wexford, but Wexford were down to 13 men. I don't think Kilkenny will be down to 13 men. So I think, especially in Nolan Park, Kilkenny will win. And then the Antrim Galway one is probably the trickiest one out of the three, but I still think Galway will win. But Corrigan Park is not to be played with. If Galway mess around, Antrim could punish them. Dublin very nearly got punished. Like, very nearly got punished. Sean Gallagher's late goal, that doesn't go in, Antrim win. So Galway need to tread with caution, but I think Galway will win it.
Yeah, exactly. Them three results are pretty self-explanatory, to be honest. We probably will discuss more hurling in the next few weeks, but we just don't have time. We're on the clock, 1 hour, 15 minutes. So we better end the podcast there before we tire any of our listeners or viewers. Like the video, subscribe, all that good stuff, and subscribe to our Gaelic Statsman on YouTube and Spotify and Instagram and Facebook and all them social media accounts. Follow Seamus's account on TikTok and Instagram and all them social media platforms, YouTube as well. Thanks to Capture Athletics for sponsoring today's show, and thanks for the gear once again. We'll be wearing this in most of the podcasts, I'm sure Seamus will be wearing in most of these videos as well. So until the next video, lads, until next week, take care and have a good one.